Welcome back to Crack the WSED 2. I'm Emma, and if you've made it to episode 3, I am genuinely proud of you.
I'm Ryan, and I'm proud of you too, though I'll admit my standards for pride are somewhat lower than Emma's.
This is part 3 of our 3-part series, and today we are going out with a bang. Literally. Sparkling wines. Champagne corks. Fizz. We're also covering fortified wines, port, sherry, Madeira. Then a tour through spirits, food pairing, and finally full exam strategy. Mock Q&A. The works.
And if you haven't done parts 1 and 2 yet, go back. We covered still wines, grapes, regions, climate, viticulture, and vinification. You want that foundation before you tackle today's material.
But if you're cramming the night before, which no judgment I absolutely did, then this episode is your golden ticket. We're giving you everything examiners love to test.
Right. And we're going to start with something I find genuinely fascinating, and I think it captures the genius and the madness of wine all at once.
Who set it up?
So you've got two wines that are considered absolute masterpieces of the wine world. Champagne and sherry. And the thing is, they're made with almost literally opposite philosophies.
Yes, I love this.
Champagne is all about freshness. Every single decision in champagne production is about protecting the wine from oxygen. You pick early to keep the acidity. You press gently. You bottle it with care. You do everything you can to preserve that bright, clean, biscuity, toasty freshness. Oxygen is the enemy.
And then you have sherry sitting in its cellars in Jerez, Spain, and the winemaker is thinking, how do I get more oxygen into this wine?
Exactly. The whole cellar system, the way they deliberately expose the wine, it's designed to oxidize the wine in a controlled way. And what you get is this incredible nutty, savory, complex thing that tastes nothing like any other wine in the world.
And the WSED 2 tests both of these in the same exam, because they want to check whether you actually understand the principles behind wine production, not just whether you can memorize grape names.
Which is why understanding why things are done is more useful than pure memorization. But we'll also give you plenty of things to memorize.
All right, let's dive into sparkling wines. This section trips people up in the exam because the terminology is very specific and the sweetness scale is counterintuitive.
Let's start with the king. Champagne.
Champagne is a region in northeastern France. And the only wine that can legally be called champagne is sparkling wine made there, using the traditional method, which is also called method champenoise.
Now, important point here. The word méthode champenoise can only appear on champagne labels. Other sparkling wines made the same way have to call it traditional method or méthode traditional. The champenoise were very clear about protecting their terminology.
Trademark drama, honestly. Very on brand for the French.
Let's walk through how the traditional method actually works, because the exam can ask you about this in detail.
Right. So step one, you make a base wine, which in Champagne is typically a still, dry, quite acidic wine. Not delicious on its own, honestly.
No. It's searingly acidic. It's kind of terrible as a table wine.
But that acidity is exactly what you want, because it's going to be the backbone of the finished champagne. You then blend wines from different grapes and different years. This is called the assemblage. Non-vintage champagne, which is the most common style, is a blend from multiple years.
The grapes, and you will be tested on these, are Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier. Chardonnay gives freshness and elegance. Pinot Noir gives body and red fruit character. Pinot Meunier gives roundness and earthy fruit notes.
A Blanc de Blancs is made only from Chardonnay. Very elegant, very fine. A Blanc de Noirs is made from the red-skinned grapes only, Pinot Noir and or Pinot Meunier, but pressed very carefully so you get a white wine.
Once you have your base wine blend, you bottle it and add a mixture of wine and sugar called the liqueur de tirage. This triggers a second fermentation inside the bottle. Carbon dioxide is produced. Because it can't escape, it dissolves into the wine. That's your bubbles.
The dead yeast cells, the lees, stay in the bottle and the wine ages on them. This is called autolysis. It's where you get those famous biscuity, brioche, toasty flavors that champagne is known for. Non-vintage champagne must age for at least 15 months on lees. Vintage champagne at least 3 years.
Then you have riddling, remuage, which is where the bottles are gradually turned and tilted so the dead yeast gathers at the neck of the bottle. Traditionally done by hand on pupitres. Now mostly done by machines called gyropalettes.
Then disgorging, degorgement, where you freeze the neck of the bottle, pop the cap, and the plug of frozen yeast shoots out from the pressure.
And then the dosage. This is the bit the exam loves. You top up the tiny bit of wine you lost during disgorgement with a mixture of wine and sugar called the liqueur d'expedition. The amount of sugar you add determines the final sweetness level of the champagne.
And here is the counterintuitive part, the sweetness scale. Because you'd think brut means sweet, it sounds indulgent. But no, brut is dry. Let me go through the scale from driest to sweetest.
Hit us.
Brut nature, 0 to 3 grams of sugar per liter. Bone dry, no added sugar. Also called zero dosage or brut 0. Then extra brut 0 to 6 grams. Then brut 0 to 12 grams. Brut is by far the most common style. Then extra dry 12 to 17 grams. Then dry 17 to 32 grams. Then demi 32 to 50 grams. And finally do over 50 grams. Very sweet.
Here's the trap. Extra dry is sweeter than brut. That is the number one confusion I see in practice questions. Extra drier sounds drier than brut, but it's actually sweeter.
When I first saw that, I thought it was a typo.
It's not a typo. It's history. The scale evolved when tastes changed. Brut was a late 19th century innovation. Wines used to be much sweeter. The naming never got updated to make logical sense.
Okay. From champagne, we move to other traditional method sparklings. Cava from Spain, primarily the Penedès region near Barcelona, made with local Spanish grapes. Macabeo, Zerolo, and Perolada. Same method as champagne. Second fermentation in bottle, riddling, disgorgement, dosage. Same sweetness terminology.
Cava is excellent value for money. I'll say that clearly. If you're studying on a budget and want to practice identifying traditional method sparkling wines, buy Cava.
Crémant. These are traditional method sparkling wines made in France but outside the Champagne region. So you have Crémant d'Alsace, Crémant de Bourgogne, Crémant de Loire. They use local grape varieties. They tend to be lighter and fresher than Champagne and again, great value.
Now the other major production method. The tank method. Also called Charmat method or cuve close.
Instead of doing that second fermentation inside the individual bottle, you do it in a large pressurized tank. The wine ferments, the CO2 dissolves, and then you filter the wine and bottle it under pressure.
The result is a different style of bubbles, larger, softer, more frothy, and the flavor profile is quite different too. You don't get the biscuity, autolytic complexity because the wine isn't sitting on lees for years in individual bottles.
Which brings us to Prosecco, Italy's most famous sparkling wine, made in the Veneto and Friuli regions of northeastern Italy. The grape is Glera. Tank method. The style is fresh, light, delicate. Think green apple, pear, white flowers. It's not trying to be champagne. It's doing something completely different.
And it's doing it beautifully, I'd add. I know some people look down on Prosecco as a cheaper alternative to champagne, but that's just missing the point. They're different wines.
Completely agree. The exam might ask you to match a production method to a wine. Prosecco tank method. Champagne traditional method. Don't mix those up.
And then there's Asti spumant. Or just Asti. This one's interesting because it's also Italian, also tank method, but it's sweet. The grape is Moscato Bianco, which is the same as Muscat Blanc Apetis grains if you're coming from the French side. It's low in alcohol, typically around 7%, because the fermentation is stopped early, before all the sugar is converted.
So you end up with this lovely, grapey, fresh, floral, sweet, sparkling wine. It's actually brilliant with spicy food or with desserts that aren't too rich. And at 7% you can have 2 glasses at lunch and still function.
Which I can confirm from personal experience is a significant lifestyle advantage.
Okay. Let me run through a quick mock question on sparkling. Ryan, hit me.
Question 1. Which of the following sparkling wines is produced using the traditional method?
Prosecco, Biasti, Ficava, Di Lambrusco.
Answer?
Ficava. Prosecco is tank method. Asti is tank method. Lambrusco is a red Italian sparkling, also usually tank method. Cava is traditional method.
Correct. Question 2. Arrange these champagne sweetness levels from driest to sweetest, extra dry, Brut, Demi-Sec, Brut Nature.
Brut Nature driest. Then Brut. Then extra dry. Then Demi-Sec.
Perfect. That gets most people because extra dry sounds drier than Brut. The exam exploits that confusion.
All right, we are moving into fortified wines now, and I genuinely think this is the most interesting part of the syllabus.
I think it's the most underrated part of the syllabus. People spend all their time on French still wines and then get blindsided by the sherry questions.
Let's start with Port. Port comes from the Douro Valley in Portugal. The Douro is a steep, dramatic, slate-terraced valley, one of the most beautiful wine regions in the world.
The key principle of port production, and this will come up in the exam, is that port is fortified during fermentation. This is crucial. Most fortified wines are fortified after fermentation, when the wine is already dry. Port stops fermentation midway through by adding grape spirit.
So when you add the spirit, the yeast can't survive in that level of alcohol, fermentation stops, and you're left with residual sugar. That's why port is sweet. The sweetness is natural grape sugar, not added sugar.
The alcohol in the finished port is typically around 19 to 22%. And the grape varieties, there are hundreds of approved varieties in the Douro, but the most important one for the exam is Touriga Nazionale. Beautiful grape. Gives intense dark fruit, floral notes, particularly violets, an excellent structure.
Now here's the thing with port that the exam loves to test, the difference between the two main style families, Ruby family versus Tawny family.
Ruby port is aged in large vessels, large vats or barrels, so there's minimal oxygen contact. The wine stays deep ruby red. It keeps its primary fruit character. Fresh, juicy, berry flavors.
The styles in the Ruby family. Basic Ruby port, young fruity simple. Then reserve port, higher quality ruby, aged a bit longer. Then late bottled vintage or Elbiva wine from a single year, aged in barrel for 4 to 6 years before bottling. Then vintage port, the premium tier. Single year, aged in barrel for only about 2 years, then bottled and meant to age for decades in the bottle. This is the stuff people lay down for 20, 30, 40 years.
The exam trap here is LBV versus vintage. Both are single year wines. The difference is how long they age in wood versus bottle. Vintage port is bottled young and aged in bottle. LBV is aged longer in wood and released ready to drink.
Tawny port. Completely different approach. Tawny is aged in small barrels where there is oxygen contact. Over years, the wine oxidizes. The color changes from red to amber to tawny brown. The flavors shift from fresh fruit to dried fruit, nuts, caramel, coffee, butterscotch.
And the premium tawnies are aged indicated tawnies, you'll see 10-year, 20-year, 30-year, 40-year on the label. These are averages of a blend, not a single year. A 20-year tawny is a blend where the average age of the wines is 20 years.
Serving temperature. This is a sneaky one. Ruby port is served at room temperature or slightly below. Tawny port is served slightly chilled. It's more refreshing that way. And if someone serves you vintage port warm, that's fine. If someone serves you tawny warm, that's a miss.
Classic pairings. Port and Stilton is the canonical one. The saltiness and sharpness of the blue cheese cuts through the sweetness of the port and they make each other better. The WSET 2 loves this pairing.
Now sherry. And here I feel strongly about something I want to say clearly.
Hello.
Sherry is criminally underrated. It's one of the most complex, diverse, food-friendly wine styles in the world, and it gets written off as grandma's sweet wine, when in reality the main styles of sherry are bone dry and are incredible.
I'm going to push back on the criminally underrated framing. Sherry is appreciated by people who appreciate it. It's not for everyone. The flavors are unusual, very savory, almost soy sauce-like in some styles. That's not for every palate.
See, this is what I mean. People dismiss it before they understand it.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying the unique flavor profile means it requires some education to appreciate, which is actually relevant here because understanding why it tastes that way helps you remember the production.
Okay, that's fair. Let's talk production. Sherry comes from Jerez de la Frontera in Andalusia, southern Spain. The climate is hot. The main grape is Palomino, which makes a naturally low-acid, fairly neutral white wine.
Which doesn't sound promising.
It doesn't. But then the magic happens. After fermentation, the wine is put into barrels that are only partially filled, about 5/6 full. And what grows on the surface of the wine in some of these barrels is a layer of yeast called flor.
Flor. Which is the Spanish word for flour, because it looks like a white flour floating on the wine.
Flor yeast is crucial because it protects the wine from oxidation, while also consuming oxygen and producing compounds that give the wine its characteristic nutty, savory, bread-like flavors. The wine under flor stays pale, dry, and delicate.
These are the Fino and Manzanilla styles. Fino is from Jerez. Manzanilla is a Fino-style sherry from the coastal town of Sanlúcar de Barrameda. The sea air there means the flor is thicker and more active, and Manzanilla has a distinctive salty tang.
Fino and Manzanilla are bone dry. They're fortified only to 15 to 15.5% alcohol, just enough to protect the wine but low enough that flor can survive. And here is the most important serving instruction for the exam. Fino and Manzanilla must be served chilled. Cold. Like a white wine.
If someone serves Fino at room temperature, and people do, they are wrong. The flor character really only sings when it's cold. And once you open a bottle, you treat it like a white wine, refrigerate and consume within a few days. It's fragile.
Now here's where sherry gets more complex. In some barrels, the flor dies, either naturally or because the winemaker fortifies the wine to a higher level of alcohol that kills the yeast. When flor dies, the wine is now exposed to oxygen. Oxidation begins.
And what you get is Amontillado. Amontillado starts life under flor as a Fino, then the flor dies and it undergoes oxidative aging. So it has characteristics of both styles, some of the nutty, autolytic Fino character, and the oxidative amber richness of exposure to air. It's amber-colored, dry, complex, with hazelnut and tobacco notes.
Oloroso is the style that has never had flor protection. It's fortified to a higher level right from the start, typically 17 to 18%, and it ages entirely oxidatively. Darker mahogany color, richer, fuller-bodied, intensely nutty dried fruit with spice. Also bone dry in its natural state.
Then there are the sweet styles. Pedro Ximénez, often written as PX, is made from super-concentrated, sun-dried Palomino grapes. Wait, no. PX is made from the Pedro Ximénez grape. And those grapes are dried in the sun, concentrating the sugars to extraordinary levels. The result is a thick, intensely sweet, dark syrupy sherry with flavors of dried fig, raisin, chocolate, molasses.
I have literally poured Pedro Ximénez over vanilla ice cream as a dessert. It is spectacular.
That's actually a classic serving suggestion and it works brilliantly.
And then cream sherry, which I guess the sweet grandma's wine people think of, is a blend of Oloroso and Pedro Ximénez or other sweet wines. It's sweetened, medium-bodied, and is genuinely delicious if that's what you want. Nothing wrong with it.
There's also pale cream, which is a sweetened Fino, pale in color but sweet. And medium sherry, which is Amontillado-based.
The Solera system. This is key to sherry production and the exam might ask about it. A Solera is a series of barrels arranged in tiers. The oldest wine is in the bottom tier, the Solera. Above it are layers of progressively younger wine called Criaturas. When you take wine to bottle, you only take a fraction from the Solera. You then refill it from the Criatura above, which you refill from the next one up, and so on. It's a continuous fractional blending system.
The effect is that the oldest wine never completely leaves the system. The style remains consistent year after year. You can't have a vintage sherry in most cases because the wine from any given year is blended back through the Solera.
And the character of the older barrels, the microorganisms, the yeast, the history, inoculates the younger wine coming in. The system is self-perpetuating.
Some Soleras are centuries old. The wine you're drinking has a tiny fraction that is unimaginably old.
Which is honestly one of the most beautiful things about wine.
All right. Brief mention of Madeira. Madeira comes from the island of Madeira, which is a Portuguese archipelago in the Atlantic. Madeira is fascinating because it's deliberately heated during aging, a process called estufagem in its basic form, or canteiro for higher quality wines, where they age slowly in warm conditions naturally.
This heating causes a kind of controlled oxidation and caramelization that gives Madeira its distinctive toffee, dried fruit, sharp acidity character. And Madeira is virtually indestructible once opened, because it's already been through such extreme conditions, it barely changes further.
The styles of Madeira range from very dry to very sweet. The main ones for the exam, Sertial, the dry. Verdelho, e medium dry. Buhl, e medium sweet. Malmsey, sweet and rich. And there's also Rainwater, which is a lighter, medium dry style mostly for the American market.
And Marsala. We're going to be brief here because the exam won't go deep. Marsala comes from Western Sicily. It's a fortified wine with caramel or cooked wine added in some styles. The dry styles are lovely with food. Most people only know it from cooking.
Right. Marsala chicken and all that. No, it exists, know where it's from, Sicily, and know it's fortified. That's probably enough for WSET2.
Okay. We are now entering the section that is genuinely controversial among WSET2 students, spirits.
And I'm going to say it immediately, I think including spirits on a wine exam is overreach. It's a wine and spirits qualification technically, it says so in the name, but the depth they cover spirits compared to the depth they cover wine is quite different.
I actually disagree. I think it makes you a more rounded hospitality professional to understand how distillation works and what cognac is and why Scotch single malt tastes different from a blended Scotch. This stuff comes up in real-world restaurant situations.
Fair. But I don't think you should spend equal time on spirits and wine when revising.
That's true. Know the basics. Know your key terminology. Don't go deep.
Let's start with distillation. The core principle. Wine and beer are made by fermentation, yeast converts sugar into alcohol. The maximum alcohol level you can get by fermentation is around about 15 to 16%, because at that level the alcohol kills the yeast.
Distillation exploits the fact that alcohol boils at a lower temperature than water, about 78 degrees Celsius versus 100 degrees. So if you heat a fermented liquid, the alcohol vaporizes first, you capture that vapor, you cool it back down, and you have a concentrated alcoholic liquid.
Two main types of still. The pot still, which is basically a copper kettle shape. You put your fermented liquid in, heat it, capture the vapor. You typically do this twice in succession, double distillation, to concentrate further. Pot stills give a heavier, more flavorful spirit because they carry more congeners, the flavor compounds.
And the column still, also called a coffee still or continuous still. Instead of batch distillation, you run fermented liquid continuously through tall columns where it meets rising steam. Very efficient. Produces a purer, higher alcohol, lighter tasting spirit.
General rule, pot still equals more flavor and character. Column still equals lighter and cleaner.
Cognac. This is the one the exam loves. Cognac is brandy made in the Charente region of southwest France. The grape is Ugni Blanc, also called Trebbiano in Italy. It makes a high-acid, low-alcohol base wine that's perfect for distillation. The spirit is double distilled in pot stills and then aged in French oak barrels.
The aging categories. VS, very special. Minimum 2 years in oak. VSOP, very superior old pale. Minimum 4 years. XO, extra old. Minimum 10 years. The more years in oak, the smoother and more complex.
Armagnac is the other major French brandy. Also from southwest France but a different region, Gascony. Armagnac is typically made in a column still rather than pot still, which gives it a different, actually more rustic, some say more individual character than cognac.
Scotch whiskey. Scotland. The grain bill and production method creates enormous diversity. Single malt scotch is made from 100% malted barley in pot stills at a single distillery. Blended scotch combines single malts with grain whiskey from column stills. Famous blends, Johnny Walker, Shivers Regal. Famous single malts, Glenfiddich, Macallan, Lagavulin.
The regions of Scotland matter for flavor. Highlands diverse, often fruity and heathery. Speyside, which is technically within the Highlands, home to many famous distilleries, often elegant, slightly sweet, complex. Islay, coastal island, famous for heavily peat, smoky whiskies. If you've ever tasted something that smells like a burning bog, that's Islay.
Peat, which is decomposed organic matter found in Scottish bogs. When you dry malted barley over burning peat smoke, the phenolic compounds from the smoke are absorbed into the barley and they carry through into the spirit. That's where the medicinal, smoky, iodine-like character comes from in Islay whiskies.
Irish whiskey, Ireland, typically triple distilled in pot stills, one more distillation than scotch, which gives a lighter, smoother character, usually not peat, smoother and more approachable for people new to whiskey.
Bourbon, American whiskey, made in the United States, mostly Kentucky. Key legal requirements, the grain bill must be at least 51% corn. It must be aged in new charred oak barrels. New barrels only, every time. That's unlike scotch, which reuses casks. The new charred oak gives bourbon its characteristic vanilla, caramel, sweet spice character.
Rum, made from sugarcane products, either molasses, which is a byproduct of sugar refining, or fresh sugarcane juice. The latter makes what's called rhum agricole, from the French Caribbean islands. Light rums are typically column still, very clean and neutral, think Bacardi. Dark rums are more full-bodied, pot still influenced, aged.
Gin. This is interesting because gin actually starts as a neutral spirit, often grain-based, that then has botanicals added to it. The legal requirement is that juniper must be the dominant botanical flavor. Everything else is up to the producer. You can add cucumber, citrus peel, coriander, cardamom, rose petal, the combinations are endless.
Vodka, also a neutral spirit. The goal is to produce something as clean, pure, and flavorless as possible. It can be made from almost any agricultural product, grain, potato, grape.
And tequila, made from the blue agave plant, which grows in Mexico, particularly around the town of Tequila in Jalisco State. The heart of the agave, called the pina, is harvested, cooked, crushed, fermented and distilled. Styles, Blanco or Silver is unaged or briefly aged. Reposado is aged between 2 months and 1 year in oak. Añejo is aged between 1 and 3 years in oak.
Mezcal is related, also made from agave, but different species of agave can be used, and the traditional production method involves roasting the piñas in underground pits, which gives mezcal that characteristic smoky flavor.
The WSET 2 won't go deep on spirits. Know what each one is made from, where it comes from, and the key aging terms. That's your spirits section covered.
Now let's talk food and wine pairing. This comes up in the WSET 2 multiple choice questions and people get caught out because there are specific principles you need to know.
There are two main approaches. You match or you contrast. Matching means you pair a wine with similar characteristics to the food. Contrasting means you pair a wine where its characteristics offset something in the food.
Examples of matching: rich, buttery, oak Chardonnay with rich, creamy lobster. The weight and texture match. The oak can echo the creaminess.
Light, delicate Pinot Gris from Alsace with light, delicate sole. You don't want to overwhelm a delicate fish with a massive tannic red wine.
Examples of contrasting: high acid wine with rich, oily or fatty food. The acidity cuts through the fat, cleanses the palate. This is why champagne and fried food is such a brilliant pairing. The bubbles and acidity cut right through the richness.
Champagne and fish and chips, champagne and fried chicken, genuine pairings, not a joke.
Sweet wine with sweet or spice food. The sweetness in the wine balances the heat of spice. This is why off-dry Riesling or Gewürztraminer with Thai or Indian food works so well.
But be careful, if the food is sweeter than the wine will taste thin and sour. The wine should be at least as sweet as the dish.
Tannins and food. Tannic red wines go well with red meat. The tannins bind to the proteins in the meat and soften. But tannic red wines with delicate fish can be disastrous. The tannins clash with the delicate flavors and can make the fish taste metallic and unpleasant.
Salt and wine. Salty food tends to make wine taste rounder and less tannic. It suppresses the perception of bitterness and acidity. This is why champagne and salty snacks work so well together.
The classic pairings the WSED2 loves, and I mean really loves, know these.
Sirtenzis and foie gras. The sweet botrytized richness of Sirtenzis with the extreme richness of foie gras. Both rich, but the acidity in Sirtenzis cuts through the fat. Contrasting within a matching framework.
Champagne and fried food. As we said, acidity and bubbles against richness.
Fino sherry and tapas. Fino is bone dry, nutty, and saline. With olives, almonds, anchovies, jamon, the flavors complement and enhance each other. This is one of the most food-friendly wine pairings in existence.
Port and Stilton, the classic British pairing. Salt and sugar are natural partners. The sweetness of port softens the sharp tang of the blue cheese.
Muscadet and oysters. Muscadet is a very dry, light, lemony white wine from the Loire Valley. With oysters, the mineral salinity and acidity is perfect.
Anything you'd add?
Gewürztraminer and Alsatian cheese like Munster. Very regional, the locally produced spice and fruit of the wine against the pungent cheese. Works beautifully.
Riesling and pork. The acidity cuts the richness. Whether it's roast pork or pork chops, Riesling is a brilliant food wine.
And a negative pairing worth knowing. Red wine with asparagus. Asparagus contains a compound called asparagusic acid that makes most wines taste metallic and bitter. Asparagus is notoriously wine unfriendly. If you must pair wine with it, go for a light, grassy Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, we have arrived. Exam strategy. This is what's going to get you across the line.
The format first. WSET Level 2 is 50 multiple choice questions. 75 minutes to complete it. You need 55% to pass, which is 28 correct answers out of 50.
Now that sounds achievable, but don't take it for granted. The questions can be tricky and they're designed to test whether you actually understand the material or just memorized a few facts.
Common exam traps. Let me go through the ones I see most often.
Please.
Trap 1. Confusing Fino and Amontillado. Both start life under floor. Fino retains floor throughout. Amontillado started under floor, but floor died and it underwent oxidative aging. Fino is pale, very dry, light. Amontillado is amber, dry, nuttier, more complex.
Trap 2. Confusing tank method and traditional method sparkling wines. Prosecco and Asti are tank method. Champagne, Cava, and Crémant are traditional method. The question will often give you a description of the production process and ask you to identify the wine.
Trap 3. LBV versus vintage port. Both single-year wines. Vintage port aged in wood about 2 years, then aged in bottle for decades. LBV aged in wood 4 to 6 years, bottled ready to drink. Vintage port is the prestige product.
Trap 4. The extra dry sweetness level. Extra dry is sweeter than brut. Do not let your intuition win on this one.
Trap 5. Serving Fino warm. Fino and Manzanilla must be served chilled. The exam might describe a service scenario and ask what went wrong.
Trap 6. Tawny versus ruby port color. Ruby stays deep red because of low oxygen contact in large vessels. Tawny turns amber brown because of oxidative aging in small barrels. The color names are actually descriptive.
Trap 7. Thinking Oloroso is sweet. Natural Oloroso is bone dry. It's sweetened Oloroso that becomes cream sherry.
Trap 8. Confusing Cognac and Armagnac production methods. Cognac, pot still. Armagnac, traditionally column still. Same country, same region roughly, very different production method.
Trap 9. The grain bill for bourbon. Must be at least 51% corn. Must use new charred oak barrels. If the question asks what distinguishes bourbon from scotch, one major answer is the new oak requirement.
Trap 10. The floor yeast question. Floor grows naturally in some barrels and not others. You can't control exactly which barrels develop floor, which is why the winemaker tastes the wine early on and decides whether to direct it towards Fino or Oloroso style.
Right. The path of a sherry is decided after the initial fermentation, based on which barrels have floor and how well it grows.
Okay, top 10 things to memorize for the WSET2. We're going to rattle through these.
1. Champagne, grapes are Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier. Region is northeastern France. Method, traditional. Sweetness scale from driest, Brut Nature, Extra Brut, Extra Dry, Demi-sec, Du.
2. Prosecco. Glera grape, Veneto Italy tank method, fresh primary fruit style.
3. Port fortified mid-fermentation. Ruby stays red, large vessel. Tawny goes amber, small barrel, oxidative. Vintage port for aging. LBV ready to drink. Touriga Nacional is key grape.
4. Sherry from Jerez. Palomino grape. Floor yeast grows in some barrels. Underfloor equals Fino or Manzanilla. Pale dry chilled service. Floor dyes equals Amontillado amber dry. No floor equals Oloroso dark dry. PX equals sweet.
5. Solera system, continuous fractional blending. Wine extracted from bottom tier, younger wine cascades down from above. Maintains consistent style across years.
6. Distillation concentrates alcohol by exploiting its lower boiling point. Pot still equals more flavor, less clean. Column still equals lighter, purer.
7. Cognac, Chardon France, Ugni Blanc grape, double distilled pot still, oak aged. VS minimum 2 years. VSOP minimum for years. XO minimum 10 years.
8. Scotch single malt. 100% malted barley, pot still, single distillery. Islay equals smoky and peat. Speyside equals elegant and fruity. Bourbon corn, new charred oak, Kentucky.
9. Classic pairings, Sauternes and foie gras, champagne and fried food, Fino sherry and tapas, port and Stilton. No WHY each works, acidity, sweetness balance, contrasting or complementing.
10. WSET2 is 50 questions, 75 minutes, 55% to pass. Read every question twice. Watch for trap words like accept or which is not.
That's your core list. If you know those 10 blocks solidly, you're in a good position.
Let's do a full mock Q&A round. 5 questions. Exam style. Ryan fires them at me and I'll answer.
Question 1. A sparkling wine is described as having flavors of green apple, pear, and white flowers. It was produced using the tank method and is from Italy. What is the most likely wine?
Prosecco. Made from the Glera grape in the Veneto region of Italy. Tank method preserves the fresh, delicate primary fruit aromas. Those descriptors, green apple, pear, white flowers, are textbook Prosecco.
Correct. Question 2. What is the principal grape variety used in the production of Fino sherry?
Palomino. It's the dominant grape variety in Jerez. It makes a relatively neutral, high acid base wine that works beautifully in the Solera system and under the floor yeast.
Correct. Question 3. Which of the following champagne sweetness levels contains the most sugar?
A Brut. B Extra Dry. C Demi-Sec Extra Brut.
Go.
C Demi-Sec. The scale from driest to sweetest is Extra Brut, Brut Extra Dry Demi-Sec Du. Demi-Sec has between 32 and 50 grams of sugar per liter.
Correct. Question 4. A customer orders a bottle of Fino sherry at a restaurant. The waiter brings it to the table at room temperature. What mistake has the waiter made?
Fino sherry should be served chilled, like a white wine. It's delicate and the floor character really needs to be expressed at a lower temperature. Serving it at room temperature diminishes its freshness and can make it seem flat and less appealing.
Perfect. Bonus marks for explaining WHY, not just what. Question 5. Which of the following is a characteristic that distinguishes vintage port from late bottled vintage port?
Both are from a single declared vintage. The difference is aging. Vintage port is aged in wood for approximately 2 years, and then bottled to continue aging in bottle for potentially many decades. Late bottled vintage port is aged in wood for 4 to 6 years, and is generally released ready to drink. Vintage port is considered the premium product, and typically requires a decanter due to sediment. LBV, especially filtered LBV, does not require decanting.
Excellent. 5 for 5. You're going to pass.
I mean, after this series, you better.
Let me throw in 2 more trap questions that I've seen trip people up.
Go for it.
Question 6. Which production method for sparkling wine involves a second fermentation that takes place inside the individual bottle?
The traditional method, method Champenoise and Champagne, method Traditionnel for other traditional method wines. This second in-bottle fermentation produces the carbon dioxide that, because it's trapped, dissolves into the wine and creates the bubbles. And the aging on lees that follows the autolysis gives you those biscuity, yeasty, toasty flavors.
Question 7. Bourbon whiskey must be distilled from a grain mash that contains a minimum of what percentage of which grain?
51% corn. The mash bill must have at least 51% corn. Common misconception is that it has to be 100% corn. It doesn't. The rest can be barley, rye, wheat. And it must be aged in new charred oak barrels. That's what gives it that sweet vanilla caramel flavor.
Great. Okay, I want to give our listeners a final revision checklist. Spend your remaining study time in this order.
Yes, because if you're listening to this the night before the exam, you don't have time to review everything equally. You have to prioritize.
Priority 1. The sweetness scale for sparkling wines. Burn it into your memory. Brat nature through do. Know the order. Know that extra dry is sweeter than brut.
Priority 2. Sherry production. Floor grows, you get Fino or Manzanilla. Floor dies, you get Amontillado. No floor, you get Oloroso. PX is made from sun-dried grapes and is sweet. Cream is a blend. Fino is served chilled.
Priority 3. Port categories. Ruby versus Tawny. Single-year wines, LBV and vintage port. Age-indicated Tawnies, 10, 20, 30, 40-year, these are averages, not single vintages. Classic pairing, port and Stilton.
Priority 4. Traditional method versus tank method sparkling. Traditional. Champagne, Cava, Cremant. Tank method. Prosecco, Asti.
Priority 5. The four classic pairings. Sauternes and foie gras. Champagne and fried food. Fino, sherry and tapas. Port and Stilton. No WHY, they work.
Priority 6. Cognac. Charente, France. Ugni Blanc. Pot still. Vis 2 years. VSOP 4 years. XO 10 years.
Priority 7. Bourbon versus Scotch. Bourbon is American, corn-based, new charred oak. Scotch is Scottish, malted barley, reused barrels. Single malt is from one distillery. Islay is peaty and smoky.
Priority 8. The key food and wine principles. Acidity cuts fat. Sweetness balances spice. Tannins go with rich red meat, clash with delicate fish. Match weight and texture.
Priority 9. Know your regions. Champagne is in northeastern France. Cava is in Spain. Prosecco is in the Veneto, Italy. Port is from the Douro Valley, Portugal. Sherry is from Jerez de la Frontera, Andalusia, Spain. Cognac is from the Charente, France.
Priority 10. Read the question carefully. The WSET2 multiple choice questions are carefully worded. Watch for which is not. Except, most likely, least likely. These little words completely change the answer.
And if you're genuinely unsure, eliminate the obviously wrong options first. You can often narrow it down to two. Then think about which one feels more aligned with WSET language and principles.
The WSET has its own vocabulary. They use words like structure, balance, complexity. When in doubt, think about what the official WSET position on something would be, not just what you personally think.
And trust your preparation. If you've done parts 1, 2, and 3 of this series, you have covered the full syllabus. You know the material.
Let's do a quick lightning round to close out. I'll say a clue. Ryan gives me the winer term.
Ready.
Bone dry, pale, must be served chilled, made under floor yeast and Jerez.
Fino sherry.
Single vintage port, aged in bottle for decades, requires decanting.
Vintage port.
Italian sparkling, Glera grape, tank method, fresh and floral.
Prosecco.
French brandy, pot still, Ugni Blanc grape, VS means minimum 2 years oak.
Cognac.
Madeira style that is sweet and rich.
Malmsey.
Sherry style that started under floor but floor died. Oxidative aging, amber color.
Amontillado.
Sweetness level between extra dry and dry on the sparkling scale.
There is no level between extra dry and dry. Extra dry is 12 to 17 grams per liter, and dry is 17 to 32. They're adjacent. You're trying to catch me out.
Ha, I was. Good catch. That is exactly the kind of trap the exam sets. They might list levels in the wrong order and ask you to arrange them correctly.
My favorite trap question. A sparkling wine labeled dry, is it dry?
In common language, yes. In the WSET sweetness scale, it's medium sweet. 17 to 32 grams of sugar per liter. That's noticeably sweet to most palates. The names are historical artifacts and don't reflect modern usage of the word dry.
Which is a brilliant example of why understanding context matters in wine education. The official terminology is not always intuitive.
All right, let's bring this home. If you've made it through all three episodes of this series, you have covered still wines, climate, viticulture, French regions, Italian wines, New World wines, oak winemaking, and now sparkling wines, fortified wines, spirits, food pairing, and exam strategy.
That is the entire WSET Level 2 award in wine syllabus. You should be proud.
Now go review your notes one more time. Sleep well the night before. Eat breakfast on exam day. And go in knowing that you know this stuff.
The exam is testing whether you understand wine. If you've been drinking wine, thinking about wine, and doing the work, you've been building towards this without even realizing it.
My top last-minute tip. Read through the sweetness scale one more time before you sleep. Brut nature. Extra brut. Brut. Extra dry. Dry. Demi-si-du. It's the one thing people get wrong when they're tired.
My top last-minute tip. For every wine region you can name, ask yourself, climate, key grape, key winemaking feature. Three facts per region. That structure will help you answer almost any question.
And remember 50 questions. 75 minutes. 55% to pass. You need 28 right answers. If you've done the work, that should be very achievable.
And if you don't pass first time, which can happen, it's okay, you'll know exactly what to review because you'll know which question stumped you.
But I believe in you. I genuinely do. This series was made for people who found WSET overwhelming at first like I did, and wanted the material explained in a way that actually makes sense.
Wine is not mysterious. It's just fermented grape juice with a lot of interesting context. And now you have more of that context than you had 3 episodes ago.
Emma and Ryan signing off from Crack the WSET 2.
Good luck. Go get your pass certificate. And then celebrate with something good.
Champagne? Obviously.
Brat. Not extra dry. You know the difference now.
Ha, we really taught you something.
Cheers.
Cheers.